beginning with verse 3 and reading through verse 6. By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, and a man of knowledge increases power. For by wise guidance you will wage war, and in abundance of counselors there is victory. May God bless to our hearts and lives the reading and the hearing of God's holy word. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Again, our God and Father, we bow before you and we ask that you would stir up our hearts to attentiveness, to take aside all thoughts that would distract us. Let us know that you are present here in our midst and that you speak to us in your word. Grant, Father, that I may speak with clarity, with boldness, that your Holy Spirit may apply that which is said. Keep me from error. Grant your people discernment as they test these things by the word of God to see whether these things be so. And in it all, Father, we pray that you will accomplish your great work of salvation in us, to make us to know our sin and your displeasure at sin, but also your grace to sinners through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, would you equip us for every good work to do your will, for that is well-pleasing in your sight, and we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen. As we have talked about wisdom in the past, we have pointed out to you that wisdom is not just the wisdom of the world, the knowledge of worldly things and how to get along. It is not merely success in the world about which we speak, but rather that it is the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom. It is your relationship to the one who created you, who reveals himself to you in that creation, and more specifically in the Word of God, that makes one wise. It is the humbling of oneself to understand that if we are to understand anything at all, we must understand ourselves to be creatures of God, and to understand his world and ourselves and our relationships and everything about it in terms of God's word. That is the beginning of wisdom. No matter how much education you have, no matter how wise or successful you may be in this age, if you do not have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, if you do not submit yourself to the hearing of his word, the understanding of it, and the application of it, then you are not a wise person, you're a fool. The wise man is the one who, hearing the word of God, acts upon it. The foolish man is the one who hears the word of God, or who refuses to hear the word of God, and if he does hear it, refuses to act upon it. The wise man of this world, by the wisdom of this world, did not come to know God. But it was by the foolishness of the word of God preached that men come to know the wisdom of God, who is Christ, and the power of God, who is Christ. You cannot even live apart from that relationship with Christ. And here in the Proverbs, Solomon again commends that wisdom, that submission to God and his word, to the living word, Jesus Christ, and the will of that living word, Jesus Christ, as it is expressed to us in the scriptures. And he commends it in two ways. He commends wisdom, and he points out to us that submission to God's word, which is wisdom, is necessary for the success and prosperity of all human activity. You can do nothing apart from the Lord Jesus, and you cannot succeed ultimately, eternally, nor even really temporally, although you may have the appearance of such, unless you are subject to the rule of Christ in your life. I want you to just stop and think for a moment. No matter what you may accomplish in this life, if you are apart from Christ, what will you say in the day of judgment? And what of that which you have done will stand that has not been done for the glory of God? nothing at all. Nothing. And so we pointed out to you last time that there is a pervasive need for wisdom. And we pointed out to you that in these first two verses, that the building of a house is not simply the erection of an abode in which to live. It is used in Scripture for many different things. It is used of the individual life. It is used for life in the flesh. It is used for the family. It is used for the conduct of your vocation. It is used for social structures. It is used of the church. In other words, any structure, anything that will last, that is spoken of in the Scriptures in terms of building a house. Everything that you do is dependent upon your submission to the Word of God. Listen to me. Listen up. We are talking here about the necessity of hearing the Word of God. We must listen to it. Please listen to the Word of God. Because there's a pervasive need for it. You need it, and I need it. In doing so, you need then also to affirm the inadequacy of any other approach. Any other source of wisdom, any other source of knowledge, and when we say that, it doesn't mean that we cannot learn from God's creation. It simply means that we need to approach God's creation from the revelation of the Word of God. But when we begin to add to the sources of authority, we diminish the authority of Christ and we put our trust in other things and other systems, whether it's our own reason, whatever it may be. But you must understand, as the Word of God is written to us, there's no other foundation that is sufficient besides Christ. You can't build anything on any other foundation than Christ, nor can you build with any other materials than those which Christ provides for us. And we spoke last time of that. But then also we said that if you were going to build these structures, if you were going to build your lives, that you need to engage in all of the activities necessary for success. You need to erect your houses in wisdom. You need to establish your houses in wisdom, that is, build them up, protect them, repair them, and you need to adorn your homes and your houses by wisdom. So submission to God's word is necessary for the success and prosperity of all human activity. And specifically, as we look at verses 5 and 6 this evening, submission to God's word is necessary for protecting and promoting God's kingdom. It is absolutely vital for protecting the work of God in your life and in his world. A wise man is strong, a man of knowledge increases power, for by wise guidance you will wage war, and in abundance of counselors there is victory. I don't know what has happened, but in the closing years of the 20th century, there seems to be a resistance to understanding the Christian life as a warfare. In many of our mainline denominations, all hymns having to do with battle have been removed from the hymnals. You will not find "Who Is This That Comes from Edom" in very many hymnals these days. It's just a little bit too violent, too gruesome. And yet the Lord describes himself as a mighty warrior who is vanquishing the wicked under his feet, who will be victorious in time and space and eternity, and to whom everybody must bow the knee and confess that he is Lord or be crushed by his armies. Now that's a vivid picture of the work of the kingdom of God. The Apostle Paul, as we'll see a little bit later as we go into the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians, describes the Christian life and that which God has provided for us in Christ as the armor that we need to fight the devil and all of his armies and to stand in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand. You are in a battle. And what you need to endure and to survive that battle is you need that wisdom which comes from submitting to the living Word, who is Christ, and the Word of God written, which is the will of Christ for you in the battles that you face. How doth Christ execute the office of a king is the question in the Shorter Catechism. Christ executeth the office of a king in subduing us to himself, in ruling and defending us, and in restraining and conquering all his and our enemies. Our God is a mighty warrior, and we are the troops in his army. And if you're going to be equipped for service in that army, you must be subject to the Word of God. Now, I think the order in these verses may be significant. We are, first of all, to build our homes and then venture out to subdue the surrounding territory. That is God's strategy. We begin at home. We begin with our own lives. We begin in our families, in our churches. And as we learn to order our lives according to the Word of God and those institutions that God has ordained over which we have direct control, then we are equipped in the very process of those things to go out and to speak and to address by the preaching of the gospel a world that is lost and needs to be subdued by the power of God, which is the gospel, and the wisdom of God, who is Christ. So I want to show you how this evening, this wisdom, this submission to the Word of God will assist you in that which is necessary. Wisdom is that which instructs you, which gives you the strength for war. Wisdom gives you strength for war. A wise man is strong. The Hebrew says the wise man is in strength. The very arena in which he functions and lives is the arena of the power of God. He is indwelt by the Spirit of God. He is given everything necessary for the battle, for the conflict. You go through the sixth chapter of Ephesians and you see the armor that is given there. That armor is Christ, and it is all provided for you in him. But it is also our responsibility to bear that armor, to wear it properly, and to use it wisely. And the way we do that is we come again and again to the Word of God, and there we are reminded of the strength that we have for war. If you look at the 18th Psalm, and by the way, these Psalms, I want you never to lose sight. When you read through the Psalms, don't lose sight of the fact that these psalms were the hymns of the Church of God in the Old Testament. One of the reasons that we sing psalms, and I think we need to sing more psalms, is because these are the divinely inspired hymns that God has given to his church, and many of these hymns are battle hymns of the Church of the Living God. In the 18th Psalm, with verse 30, we read, "As for God, his way is blameless. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? The God who girds me with strength and makes my way blameless. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and sets me upon my high places. He trains my hands for battle so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand upholds me, and thy gentleness makes me great. Thou dost enlarge my steps under me, and my feet have not slipped." Do you see any allusions in the sixth chapter of Ephesians to this passage of the Psalms? Where he talks about the shield that God is, that his feet will not slip because they're shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You see, I think these are things the apostle had in mind, but you understand that the writer of the Psalms, as he wrote that psalm, understood that in his conflict, in his battle, it was his submission to this King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and in the understanding of his word, that he was equipped for the battles which God had created him to fight and to win. It is wisdom that gives you strength for war. For you see, wisdom instructs you in the nature of the conflict. I would say this, that if you don't understand the Word of God and if you do not believe the Word of God, you don't even know that you're in a conflict. You think life is a big game. You know that commercial, Michael Jordan running through Tibet or somewhere, comes across this guru. What's the secret of life? The Tibetan monk says, life is a game. I can't remember what it says. Play it hard or something like that. Life is a game. Play it hard. No. Life is a battle. And the spoils are life and death. And you must come and understand that nature of that conflict. And the only way you can understand the nature of the conflict is to come back to the Scripture. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So everything that you see about you, you must go back. There's a political aspect to it. There's a social aspect to it. There's a spiritual aspect to it. All of these things. But you must always come back and understand that the conflict is between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of Satan. And you need wisdom for that. Sometimes we forget how deadly earnest the battle is. Sometimes we're very much aware of it when it's pressing down upon us. But sometimes we're ignorant. It is wisdom that stirs you to engage in the battle. When it says that a wise man is strong, we see that wisdom is that which gives us strength for war, but wisdom stirs you to engage in the battle. Do you know something? And I'll give you a bit of a personal testimony. I know you will not believe, well, maybe you will, because you probably see me, but I am by disposition. I'm trying to think of the word here. My personality is such that I am really an introvert. I am very, very timid. Given my druthers, I would rather fight than switch. I'd rather switch than fight. Yes. But you know what changed? What changed me that enabled me, and I still have to battle that. The thing that changed me and gave me a heart to take a stand and to resist everyone around me. The thing which enabled me to take my stand against all about me that I knew and I understood, and to say it doesn't matter what the world thinks, it doesn't matter what my friends think, it doesn't matter what those close to me think. The thing that made that change in me was the conviction of the truth of the Word of God. And that if I did not stand upon that, I had no ground at all upon which to live my life. And if I abandoned that, then I had no certainty. You see, my security, the reason that I don't have to second guess myself, comes from the confidence that God's word is true. And if I believe his word and take my stand, I will not be ashamed. And yes, I've heard the world say, ha, where's his God now? God has always been faithful. I have never, ever, ever trusted him and done what he has said against the advice and counsel of the world, and even to the scorn of the world. I have never been put to shame. Now, I have been put to shame when I've gone my own way. But you see, it's wisdom that stirs me to engage in the battle. I believe that it is the Word of God that enables me to stand before you week by week and to say things that sometimes I know that you would just as soon not hear. It is wisdom that gives you the grace to hear it. It is wisdom that stirs your hearts to battle, that tells you there is something worth fighting for. You know, we live in an age where people don't want to fight for much of anything. give you an illustration. Are you aware that after the bombing in Oklahoma City, I believe it's over 70% say that they're willing to give up their freedoms in order to fight terrorism? That is a frightening thing. It is a frightening thing that over 70% of our population would say, oh yeah, please don't hurt us. We're willing to be slaves, just don't hurt us. Brothers and sisters, we have a spiritual heritage. And you may not realize this, but Patrick Henry was a godly Christian man. He was the one who said, "Give me liberty or give me death." You see, there's something worth fighting for. Because it is in the context of the liberty which we have enjoyed that was rooted in the wisdom of God that the gospel flourished and the blessings of God was poured out in such abundance. We don't have people who are willing to fight for much of anything today because there's no wisdom in the land. It's wisdom that stirs us up to engage in the battle. Can you imagine our forefathers being burned at the stake because they would not affirm that the wine and the bread in the communion service did not become the body of Christ, but simply was symbolic? They died for that. And maybe you're thinking, boy, what a bunch of dopes. That's not worth dying for. Oh, isn't it? That's a foolish notion when the honor of Christ and the nature of grace and salvation is not worth dying for or worth fighting for. You're talking about eternity. You're talking about the damnation of souls and the salvation of those who are in their sins. And it's not worth fighting for? Wisdom stirs us to engage in that battle. And wisdom equips you for success in battle. You see, without wisdom, you have no ability. It is wisdom that provides you with powerful weapons. The Apostle Paul said he lived in the flesh, but he did not wage the warfare by the weapons of the flesh, but by those that were divinely empowered for the tearing down of strongholds and for taking every thought captive to the Word of God. And if I can't do anything else tonight than to tell you that in this, the Word of God, empowered by the Spirit of God in you, that you have everything that you need to crush Satan under your feet and to preach the gospel to the ends of the nations and to see the nations subdued under the authority of Christ. And you say, "But I just don't see that, preacher." Well, let me tell you what else you don't see. You don't see believers who have the wisdom of God with regard to the purpose of God and the preaching of the gospel to the ends of the earth. You do not see believers who have confidence in the Word of God or in Christ in His reign. You don't see that. And when we don't see that heart of wisdom submitted to God, understanding what He has decreed must be done, that the Word of God has proclaimed it, and a confidence in the instruments and the use of those instruments, which is simply the preaching of the Word of God, then of course we aren't going to see the battles won because we aren't following the commands of our Commander-in-Chief. Wisdom provides you with powerful weapons. And a trust in those fleshly weapons are doomed to disappoint. I am grateful to see believers becoming active in the political process. We've abandoned that. We've abandoned the arts to those who hate God. We've abandoned just about every cultural phase of this world and our nation to unbelievers. And I am glad to see believers becoming active in them again. But let us never fall into the trap that if we can simply elect political conservatives or political liberals, Democrats or Republicans or independents, that is going to accomplish anything long term. Now, I would be more than happy and more than pleased to see a godly man elected to public office. But I'm talking about a godly man, not another form of humanist. But even if we had a godly president, godly senators and godly congressmen, we still have to deal with an ungodly population, and what we need today is the preaching of the gospel, that men might be wise. So wisdom also provides hope for success in battle. You see, it's when you're in the midst of all those things that you become weary and distracted. And where is it that we find our hope? I love that passage in the book of Isaiah. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says that he will not grow weary nor become disappointed until he shall make the nations his footstool. Boy, that's great. If Jesus doesn't become weary, if he doesn't become discouraged, then why should we? But I'll tell you, even though I am convinced of the truth of that, I need to come back again and again to read the Word of God and God's purpose, because I'm not going to fight unless I have the hope of winning. I'm willing to lay down my life, but I want to lay down my life in the cause of victory. Wisdom gives you strength for war. And where are you going to find it if you don't come back to your submission to the living Word, Jesus Christ, and the words of grace which he gives us in his written Word? Wisdom builds your strength for the battle. Not only does the believer who has that relationship with him by grace through faith, and listen, if you're outside of Christ today, you're not only not equipped for war, you're in the other camp. You're dead in trespasses and sins. You're going to be crushed under the victorious banner of Jesus Christ. He offers you terms of surrender. And in that surrender, as he subdues you to himself, he crowns you with victory. The greatest victory that I ever enjoyed was the day that Jesus Christ conquered me and crushed me and brought me to himself. That's the greatest victory that I've ever enjoyed. But you see, when I entered into that, God at that point gave me the Holy Spirit, and I was equipped at that point for war. But wisdom also builds your strength for battle. A wise man is strong, and a man of knowledge increases power. I am a better pastor today than I was 5 years ago. I hope I am. I am a better Christian today than I was 5 years ago. I am a more effective servant for God than I was 10 years ago. I am a more effective soldier in the army of Christ than I was 5, 10, 15 years ago. Because you're not static. This submission to the Word of God daily continues the work of equipping warriors. We grow in strength, and we go from strength to strength, from grace to grace. And as you feast upon the Word of God, and as you fellowship with the living Word of God, your skills are improved. There are questions today that if you'd have asked me 10 years ago, I'd say, I don't know. And you can still ask me questions where I'm saying, I don't know. But I hope after you ask me the question, if I have had time to go back and search the Scriptures, the next time I'm asked it, I'm going to say, yeah, I know. I have told some of you, but it is incredible to me the influence that you all have upon me in equipping me, because by your questions and by your observations, you drive me back to the Word of God, and we equip each other for battle, and all of our skills are improved. But not only that, not only is your strength built for battle by your skills being improved, but your spirits are revived. I know how weary you get. I know how discouraged you can get, because I do too. Sometimes you think, well, what's the use? Sometimes you think, I just can't go on. I can't keep going and doing the same things over and over again. I just can't do it. And then I go back and I read the promises of God. And I go back and I read the duties that God gives to me in light of the promises of the Word of God. And my spirits are revived. I'm ready to go. It's like R&R. Rest and recreation, is that what that is? Whatever it is, there's nothing like coming and getting a good dose of reality and seeing things the way they really are to get me to go back. It's kind of like you're in the ring and you've just been clobbered and your eyes are crossed and you're dizzy and you can't find your way to your own corner, and you get back in there and they give you something, and maybe a whiff of smelling salts and a drink of water and some encouragement. And by the time, I don't know how it happens, but at the end of that break, you say, okay, I'm ready to go. Let's go again. Let's go another round. Wisdom builds your strength for battle. And then the other thing that wisdom does is wisdom humbles you to seek the counsel that you need in battle. You see, we must understand that we are not in the ring by ourselves, that we are an army. We are the body of Christ with relationships one to another. And we are told, by wise guidance you will wage war, and in abundance of counselors there's victory. It is the wisdom of the Word of God that enables us to evaluate ourselves, to see our own weaknesses, our own limitations, but also to see what God has put in His body, the gifts and the abilities that He has given to us. In a well-equipped army, there are infantrymen and cooks, people who handle supplies and take supplies to and from the front, those who repair weapons. Some of you have been in the service and you know everything that goes into it. I don't know it, but it is an entire civilization. Everything has to be done. And if it all isn't done, the army doesn't go. And you see, God has placed us in the battle, and His wisdom that causes us to understand that we go to one another, we seek counsel of the Lord, and we come together as the people of God. We seek the guidance of God Himself, the guidance of one another as we look to the Word of God, and it is that wise guidance that brings us victory. You see, wise counsel promotes safety. It is wise counsel that the Lord gave us when He said, no king goes into battle unless he first counts the cost. Well, there's something to that. I would say this. There are some battles which we ought to avoid right now as the people of God. The reason is because we aren't equipped to fight them yet. The reason is because we aren't well enough equipped. I think we're just going to have to avoid those. But there are battles that need to be won before we get to that. We have to evaluate the cost. We have to evaluate the cost personally. And you have to ask yourself the question, are you willing to be one of those faithful warriors that we see recorded in the chapter on faith in Hebrews chapter 11, that are willing to forsake all the comforts of life for the glories that follow? You see, no one goes to war unless he's willing to lay aside the comforts of life and to follow. You've got to count the cost. But that is exactly the cost. That is exactly the counsel which God gives to us in His Word. And that is the counsel that we give to one another. But let me tell you, whatever it costs you, it's worth it. It is wise counsel that enables us to carefully develop strategy. As we mentioned, there are some battles that we ought not to fight. And there are methods of doing battle also. It's not always the wisest thing to throw yourself on the swords of the enemy. It's interesting to me, as you go back in the book of Joshua, you see some of the strategies which God gave to Joshua. There were all kinds of things which they did. Some of them wouldn't seem to make a whole lot of sense, and some of them which did. But in any event, God gives a strategy for his people. And is that wise counsel in developing strategy? Some of us are more impetuous. Some of us are like Peter. You know what Peter's strategy was in the Garden of Gethsemane? Give me a sword and I'm going to slice off the high priest's ear. You can see he wasn't very well equipped for that particular battle. All he got was an ear. But you see, that wasn't the right time. It wasn't the right place. It wasn't the right weapon. You see, God's strategy was totally different at that point in time. And if Peter had been listening to wise counsel, he would have understood. For Jesus had been telling him for 3 years exactly what was to take place and how the victory was to be won. Wise counsel promotes safety by evaluating the cost, by developing a strategy, and by consistently selecting the best weapons. And that wise counsel of the Word of God guarantees and promotes and guarantees victory. By wise guidance, you will wage war, and an abundance of counselors, there's victory. Victory in your personal life, those besetting sins that trouble you. There is victory in Christ, and there is victory by becoming accountable one to another. There is victory for the church of God and the people of God. There's victory for the kingdom of God. As the people of God with one mind come to the Word of God and submit ourselves in wisdom. And so I would urge you, as we close this evening, understand that submission to the Word of God, which is wisdom, is necessary for the success and prosperity of all human activity, and particularly, it is necessary for protecting and promoting the kingdom of God. But let me ask the question as we conclude. I know that this is a repeated theme of the preaching of the Word of God. But let me ask you, if you have been given everything necessary for war, are you aware of the battle? You know the nature of it? Are you engaged in it? And are you going back day by day and equipping yourselves by coming to know the Word made flesh through the written Word? And are you taking the commands of your commander-in-chief, writing them on your heart, and carrying them out to the best of your ability? That's the bottom line. And listen, it's not enough for you to have been here and heard the words. The wise man is the one who hears and who acts upon it. The foolish man hears, but he doesn't do according to the wisdom of God. Let's pray together. God, our Father, we pray that you would make us mindful that we really are in a battle. It is not a game. It is not that which is of no consequence in the future. But the battles which we face day by day are the battles for life, for true liberty in Christ, and indeed for the glory of your name and the advancement of your kingdom. There are eternal consequences in this warfare. And so, Lord, we pray that we might not use the weapons of this world for the waging of that battle, but those which are ordained for the tearing down of strongholds, the only things which will prevail. May we not be complacent. May we not be ignorant of the threats that are about us. Lord, we pray that you'll give us wisdom to know what battles to fight and how to fight them. That you will humble us to cause us to seek counsel day by day from your word and from each other. And we do beg, Father, that you will give us great hope. For though we are still in basic training and the battle is raging about us, yet you are our rock and our refuge. And would you, our God, make us strong, train our hands for war, enable us to bend the bow of bronze, and grant us, Lord, victory when we are stung in battle and defeated. Let us examine ourselves, learn from our sins and our errors, and then, taking up the banner of the cross, go with boldness again. Let us not become weary or discouraged. And grant, O Father, that you will indeed cause Satan to be trodden under our feet not many days hence. For the glory of Christ, we ask these things. Amen. Let's conclude our worship this evening by turning in our hymnals to hymn 484. Fight the good fight with all thy might. Christ is thy strength and Christ thy right. Lay hold on life and it shall be thy joy and crown eternally. 484. Let's stand as we sing.
Fight the good fight with all thy might. Christ is thy strength and Christ thy right. Lay hold on life and it shall be thy joy and crown eternally. Run the straight race through grace, lift up thine eyes and seek his face. Life with its way in for us lies. Christ is the path and Christ the prize. Cast care aside upon thy God. He will provide. Lean and the trusting soul shall prove Christ is its life and Christ its love. Faint not nor fear, his arms are near. He changeth not and thou art dear. Only believe and thou shalt see that Christ is all in all to thee.
Receive now the benediction of your God. And now may the grace, mercy, and peace of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and abide with you forevermore. Amen.